We say, why do women attracted to jerks? And why didn't she just leave him? Why are they attracted to the bad boy, right? And you know why? Because he has drama in his life that isn't her. And what do women like about the nice guy, quote unquote nice guy, is that he's attentive and kind and showing up and available and all these kind of things, but he's too available and he's too showing up. The real man is the combination of the two.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Deeper Podcast, a podcast for all of you who want more. More out of yourself, your relationships, your intimacy, and life. My name is Sophie Josefina, and I'm here to bring you deeper. I'm a sex, life, and relating coach, and I'm fascinated by all things masculine and feminine and bringing the two back together, helping people connect on a deep and real level so we can show up for each other, partner with each other in our healing, and call each other back into our power. A very important part of that for me is honoring both sides, the masculine and the feminine, creating more understanding, more compassion, and respect for each unique experience. And so in this series, I'm speaking specifically to men to honor them, to hear their perspective and how they go through relating the feminine life. Because so often we have demonized and devalued men in their experiences, needs, and struggles. And I want to change that. So I hereby welcome you to my Deeper Into Him podcast series. And before we get started for all these conversations, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer because I realize that this conversation about men and women, masculine and feminine, can sound both heteronormative and gendered. Bear with me. Masculine-feminine dynamics play it out in every relationship. So when we speak about men towards women, I hope you can hear it as being the partner who is more in their masculine and the partner who is more in their feminine, and this very often has little to do with gender. In addition to that, I do want to acknowledge that men and women have completely different societal expectations in the world, and because of that, different lenses. For instance, we tell men they should man up and women they should smile more. In that sense, some of this might be gendered, but I hope for people outside of that binary perspective that they might still feel some truth in any of these stories. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Deeper with Sophie Josefina. And today I am joined by Zan Perion. And Zan Perion, I think we can best describe as a lover of women. And his more official bio is that he's an internationally recognized as one of the most original and insightful voices on relationships and seduction. He is a regular media commentator, has been widely featured in the international press. Zan is the founder of the Ars Amora philosophy, which is a celebration of the art of seduction, the rebirth of romance, and the lifelong quest for beauty and adventure. He's also a co-founder of the Amorati Network of Men and is a writer of the book, The Alabaster Girl, which I highly, highly recommend. It's very, very, very yummy for anybody to read.
That's very nice.
I just want to right away say my favorite sentence. I could tell you the truth about me, but to seduce you, I'm going to tell you the truth about you. Hi, Zan. Welcome. I love your work.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing really good. So other than what I've already all just said, who are you, Zan? Who is Zan? Mm. Yeah.
That's a good question. Well, I am a guy, I'm Canadian. I'm a guy from Canada that very quickly and very shortly, I've done a lot of speaking over the years. So there's probably my stories out there a little bit can be found. So I'll say it very shortly. I was born and raised in Northwestern Canada in the wilderness, basically. Mm. So I grew up, you know, with moccasins on my feet and, you know, an axe in my hands, a knife on my side and grew up without, you know, very often having electricity or running water. We always used to have to bring water from the spring. And so I grew up in kind of like secluded from society, I guess you could say, not really, but anyway, at 13 years old, I left home and my education ended at 13. My formal education ended at 13 and I moved further out into the wilderness and kind of helped this mountain man run a trap line. And that's what I did when I was 13. And so in my teens, I was basically in the forest and I loved it. But I turned 18 and 19, I'm like, there's no girls out here. And I started to think about girls. And so I had to crawl out of the forest into the cities of the world and make my way from there. And because I had no social education, I didn't really go to proper high school, and I didn't go to college, university. I didn't get that sense of social dynamic. So I got my education relative to the polarity of men and women, or lack thereof, from movies. And you know how those are, right? The nice guy wins in the end. And so I was a super nice poetry writing, available, needy, groveling type of guy in my early years. Yeah, I was not good. But I really wanted to know. And I spent my life since then. I said, I'm going to figure this out. If those guys can figure it out, I'm going to figure it out somehow. So I just headed down the road of becoming a student of women, essentially. I had no other interests at all of any kind. I just loved girls. I wanted girls, and I didn't have any girls. And I wanted to know. So I spent my 20s in confusion and insecurity and missteps. And my 30s, I started to get it because I kept going. I kept trying. 30s, I started to understand it. And then my 40s, I wrote the book, The Alabaster Girl.
Yeah.
So I took all that I'd written, and I was traveling then. I quit my job, and I was reduced to a carry-on suitcase, and I traveled for 10 years with one pair of shoes and one carry-on bag, and I wrote The Alabaster Girl. So it took me 10 years to write. But it came out of my 100%, my anguished experience and my wanting to know and my wanting to learn, and my eyes became open slowly, you know, like the onion layers peeling away. And I said, wait a minute, because back then there was no such thing as dating coaches or any kind of instruction at all. There's nothing, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So. What was the anguish? You said from the anguish.
Yeah. The anguish was my absolute feeling of not being good enough. You know, yeah. I came from the forest, and everybody else had an education or a cool job or had some money, and I had nothing. And I was embarrassed. I hid my past for many, many years. I hid it. I was like trying to, so I was buying stuff. I got a nice apartment and did all this kind of stuff, went in debt and bought all this stuff in Canada, right? Just so that somebody would find me lovable. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I understand the plight of men and women 100%. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have spent the last 20 years studying women.
That's all I've done. It's been my, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the point of, I honestly didn't do anything else. There was times, you know, what guys would say to me, listen, I remember one time very specifically, there were some friends of mine said, listen, we're going to take some time and we're going to go fishing off of Vancouver Island. And we're going to go out there and fish for a couple of weeks, and we're going to be on this boat and we're going to grow beards. And I'm thinking, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, is there any women out there? And I wouldn't go.
Yeah. So what's women? Cause I think, I know that the women listening to these kind of conversations are going to think, oh, am I just something that needs to be gotten? Right.
Something needs to be done. Did you say?
Yeah. Or like, am I just something that needs to be gotten? Like, is it something
something to acquire?
Just something to acquire? Yeah.
Like a pet or a boat.
Yeah. 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 Because I don't feel this on you at all. And I know you're not, because I read your book.
Not at all.
There are the bros, if I can call it that category, bros out there that can speak with similar words as you and mean something completely different. So what is it, the way you see women or the feminine or beauty or whatever, how's that different from the bro?
Yeah. For me, it's if people will read my words or they think this concept of Zan Perion is this opium poet, you know, laying around in an opium den, writing, you know, poetry about my fair lady. And it's nothing could be further from the truth. I wrote my book with a very sort of a lyrical tone, as you've seen. Mm-hmm. It has a bit of a musicality to it because I wanted the words and the sentences to match the underlying message. At the same time, I understand that that there's a real down and dirty element to life, which is delicious and wonderful, you know? And so So what we have is we have two camps, I guess you could say, where we have the spiritually minded and eyes turned upward and wholesome and namaste and kindness and generosity and all these beautiful things, right? And then we have what we think is the other thing, which is down in the dirt and, you know, the visceral thing of life and bending over and BDSM and stuff like that. And there's no combination of the two.
Yes. Yeah.
And the sacred and what you could call it profane. There's I'm a lover of women. I'm a lover of beauty. I write about beauty. And at the same time, I'm a lover of mischief. Yeah. And I like the down and dirty element of life too. So, you know, it's not all high minded and up in the air, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes
sense. So, and I understand that is the psyche of women, like the heart of women. I remember I was standing in a Belgium art gallery with this woman who painted these beautiful paintings that were a dichotomy. So here's red on one side and white on the other side. And then here's black and white. And then there's, you know, these two halves. And I remember standing beside her and she's telling me what she was trying to capture. She said, I am both. I am the wife and the mother energy and the nurturing and the life-giving spirit. And at the same time, I want to be the dirty girl for that guy, you know, for that one guy. I want to be that. I want him to see me with those eyes too, you know? And we think we have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love what you just spoke into that. I wrote it down here. The women are complicit in their own seduction. I often think that women know exactly who they want to be seduced by and then also want to be taken to the more, what you call the more darker spaces or the more raw spaces.
Yeah. With that energetic masculine man that they trust,
yes,
that has full respect and empathy for them, then they want to take me and have your way with me. You know, I wrote some, I don't know how far you went in the book, but I wrote some very interesting things about later on in the book about this thing. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. Because the idea that has come upon me that I've never heard anybody say before, And you talked about archetypes before we got on this call, but the idea is that there's this type of man who is two things at once. He's simultaneously a father figure and a little boy.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, not one and then the other. So the father figure says, looks at, for instance, his daughter, and she's playing and stuff like that, and she does something out of line. He said, "Don't do that. I told you don't do it. Come here, give me a kiss. Daddy loves you. Don't do it." Right? That energy. And at the same time, he's a little boy that needs saving because he can't comb his hair right, and he can't. And the problem with men who are too cool, they don't give that, and they have it all together. They don't give their relationship, their woman, a chance to say, "Let me fix your hair and let me do this and straighten your collar. Now go into the world," right? So they don't give them that heart energy of this inspiring part of women that's natural to the feminine, mystique. Yeah. And and if they're only that little boy that you know can, then they're just needy and sucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the, you know what I call it? The warrior in my book, I called it the warrior's repose. And that's the idea. This warrior's out there and he's fighting battles and he's fighting the saber-toothed tiger and he's bringing down mammoths and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And he's fighting and he's covered in scars and wounds. He's out for 2 days with his guys and he comes crawling into his tent and he puts his head on her lap. And she says, and she's got some soup there, and she says, and she strokes his hair and says, "It's going to be okay." Because he says that to the world, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And he has nobody say it. And so when he has that in a woman, in his wife, in his partner, he can look up into her face and she said, "I will take care of you."
Yes.
Now, maybe that's anachronistic. Maybe that's not politically correct, but it is what it is.
I totally feel this. My partner also always says that. He says the warrior after his battle just wants to come home to his tent and have his woman wash his feet. And it's so simple actually. And it's a way to be much kinder and compassionate to the men around us because I can very much feel we're so critical, I think, of men or the masculine, whatever you want to call it. in that they just need to have it all figured out. They just need to like always be like, we reject their inner boy, right? We reject it. Like I'm still struggling with this, that when my man's vulnerable, part of me thinks, how dare you, right? I get annoyed. I'm not attracted to him as much. And so we still have that. We expect perfection or excellence, and anything departing from that, we feel unsafe. And so I feel that also in the story that you're telling of just like, can you actually have space for both? Can you actually have space for
both? That's the whole point of it. You know, like if you are constantly this a chauvinistic, aggressive, dominant male type, then there's nothing in you that your woman, your relationship can hold, can minister to, can nurture. And if you're only this needy little boy energy, then there's no warrior heart in her to respect and to honor. So it's, you know, and we have one or the other. You get the you know, the kind of the jerks or the assholes, and then you get these nice, sensitive, nice guys that'll do anything for you.
Yeah, because when I was reading your book about seduction, I thought seduction on one hand can be kind of the bro thing of manipulation of pickup artists. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I could also imagine that I see this in the really light, spiritual, kind, soft men, that seduction is seen as devotion and drops into the nice guy, right? He just devotes her constantly and she's now on a pedestal. So can you maybe express what seduction is to you? Because I can feel the extremes, but then I'm like, okay, so what's the middle then?
Yeah, because it is a middle, because, you know, if you look at the two types, concepts of men, where there's the jerk, and we say, why do women attracted to jerks? And why didn't she just leave him? Why are they attracted to the bad boy? Right. And you know why? Because he has drama in his life that isn't her. He's looking outward like this, and she's like, hey, did you notice me? Tap, 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 tap. He's like, yeah, oh yeah, I like you too. Wait a minute. And he's out there being, you know, he's about himself. And what do women like about the nice guy, quote unquote nice guy, is that he's attentive and kind and showing up and available and all these kind of things, but he's too available and he's too showing up. So you take the good thing from the sensitive nice guy. You talked about the two halves, you know, how do you blend it together? You take that, which is he sees you. So the real man is the combination of the two. So in other words, from the sensitive nice guy, he sees you and he's interested in you, and he honors you, and he's curious about you, and he's proud of you, proud of what you're trying to do in life. Mm-hmm. And then he's got the quality of the jerk, which is he's also got his own adventure and his fight for his battle that he's trying to understand his art or his business or what he's trying to do out there, directed outward from you. He's trying to thrust into the world, which is our thrusting nature. Yeah. And that combination is so rare. Yeah. And when a woman finds it, it's heartbreakingly rare that it because you're either like too attentive, or you don't. Or where are you? Me and the kids are here. Yes, but I'm fighting. I'm making these businesses. I'm working so hard. I'm gone 60 hours a week because I'm trying to make a better life for you and the kids. And they're saying, we don't want a better life. We want you. Yeah. You know. So this. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying a lot of things in a few words, but.
No, this is beautiful. beautiful.
So that's the blend. The blend. The man who is simultaneously this father figure, calm sage energy, who's trying to understand his life, and he's got this little boy energy of vulnerability and joy, and fun.
Yeah.
And mischief, you know, a little winking energy, and like, that's my girl over there. Hey, did you guys meet my girl? That's my girl. He's proud of her. Not just proud, you know, I'm talking a lot, but I tell guys this, if you want to have a good relationship that fosters devotion in her and in you, devotion for each other. So you look at your face of the beloved and that's your girl. And you think, that's my girl. And I'm proud that she's my girl. You could feel it in the air. And as opposed to, this is my trophy or this, she's hot. And so I'm dating her. And when you have that, I tell guys, our compliments to, for instance, to your wife, we think, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. That's okay. That goes so far, or buy a bunch of roses. But if you can compliment as opposed to appearances, if you can compliment what she's trying to become, what her life fight is, what she's trying with her career, she's trying to, you know, you're out there being an accountant and have this firm or whatever. And she's got her business, which is maybe doing, I don't know, whatever it is, but she's just as valid and fighting for it and yearning and waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking about it as you are, but men ignore her journey. But if you're proud of your woman and says, you say, you know what, my little sweetie, I have no idea what you do at work, but I really honor what you, I'm so proud of what you were trying to fight for. Because you are on a journey, a spiritual journey too.
Yeah. Yeah. The art of devoting.
And that's what's missing. Yeah. Devotion, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so much resentment. If you don't feel devotion in a relationship, you should break it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not proud of her and you can feel she's proud of you, if you can feel it, stand on this earth, you know, and that's my girl over there. And you can feel that energy coming to you, bathing you and saying, you know what, no matter what, I'm with you. I sustain you. I honor you. I inspire you. If you don't have that, what's the point?
You wrote this beautiful sentence. I think it was something like, a man who loves women is an alchemist.
Yeah.
Can you tell more about that?
Yeah. The other sentence I wrote in there, and which I fundamentally believe, a man who loves women is loved by women.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's because he wants everyone that comes into his presence to be seen, to be honored, to be reflected, and to have a better experience in life. And so that's the alchemy. Because my thesis is that I talk from a men's perspective. So I say you're a woman and stuff. Yeah, you know, maybe it's, yeah, you know, old fashioned language, but when your girl comes back into the presence of you, or vice versa, in other words, you come home from work or she comes home from work and you see each other, there should be a celebration, a petite celebration in that, because you should represent to her and vice versa, her escape from mediocrity. Oh. So when she sees your face, when she comes into the room, yeah, that's how I see it, you know? So when she comes into the room, that's my girl. And now I'm more delighted, full of joy. I'm bouncing in my seat. And because my girl just thought, hello, baby, my little sweetie, come see me, come meet my friends. There's a celebration in when she returns every time into your life, whether it's gone for 2 hours or, and women will feel that, and they will honor you, and they will, and if the relationship doesn't last forever because things change, she will never dishonor you by calling you, oh, that's my ex. She will honor you and respect you and be friends with you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. My current partner has the very same energy. As I spoke with you before, it's very much the lover archetype of just the appreciation of beauty, and that being your mission, almost your purpose. And my current partner is very much in that energy. And I noticed that what it does to me is that it actually, I'm filled up for the first time. I'm just constantly filled up when with previous relationships, I always felt like it was a tit for tat, and I always had to force myself to give something. Yeah. Didn't want to show up for him at all. With him, it's a natural occurrence because he's just constantly filling me up and moving from a very different energetic than I was with, I think, the men that maybe are not acknowledging beauty. And I know you and I know what I mean by that, but that are not in that appreciation of life.
Yeah.
For a lack of
because beauty appreciation is not about looks.
No.
It's about a journey through life and the curiosity about why we're here, and the curiosity about what she's trying to be and what she wants to understand. And she's caught up in her art, and you really want to know, you know, you don't know because that's her experience, but you want to know. And if you are not representing that, that delight, you know, looking at each other with that kind of sense of devotion, then what's the point? You know, as far as I'm concerned.
So, yeah. So I've got a question for you, which is a little bit on these archetypes, but something I've really been trying to figure out for a while. So I'm curious what your perspective is that I think a lot of archetypes in the man, so like the king, the warrior, the magician are very, I could feel very clearly a man energy there, right? The masculine energy feels very like stable, calm, clear headed, the lover, the appreciator of women or whatever you want to call it. For me, feels much more like he's much more passionate, moved by life, all of that. To me, that's almost a feminine energy.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean, like, you know what's interesting is like I wear women's scarves, you know, women's belts because they're nice, they're cooler than men's belts, you know.
Yeah.
And I have long hair but I feel completely grounded in my masculine desire, completely aligned. And I do not care not one drop what men would think about me or women at all.
Yeah.
I'm the way I am. And so I'm not this chiseled, strong, silent type, you know. I don't have that in me. And so I don't know what the archetype would be.
Doesn't matter.
but I'm curious about it because I honestly do think that there, if men, it's like love, the five love languages, you heard about them, right? Mm-hmm. If people can really align with, I think that's brilliant, by the way. And there's a sixth one, but anyway, if people can really align with what is really natural to their heart, their love language, for instance, or their archetype, if they could say, I want to inhabit an archetype of this that feels best to me, they're their best expression of themselves. As opposed to trying to be this cool guy or, you know, or whatever, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah. To me, it seems like the lover archetype or this kind of energy is really the only one where there's an integration of a feminine energy. There's an integration of experience, of life, of enjoyment, of the both the light and the dark and the rawness, and there's life there. Right. And I love how you said that earlier, like, yeah, but I'm still very rooted in my like penetrative energy.
I know what I like.
Yeah. You know, right?
Exactly. I'm right? Completely. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love, cause I've always struggled a little bit with really feeling how this works in a man, but I can see it on you. I can feel it on you. So yeah, I get it.
Okay. I like it.
I get it now. So, hey, so you write a lot about seduction. What is seduction?
Oh yeah. You asked me that.
Appreciating beauty.
Yeah. I think seduction is a word like you kind of mentioned before in our conversation that has been, has a bad reputation. I think seduction is one of the most beautiful things there is. Because we all want to be seduced in life. We want to be caught up in something. Mm-hmm. We want to feel like if we go too close, we're going to fall over the edge. We want that in everything, in careers and everything. And seduction is not manipulation, even though it has been kind of aligned with that. Seduction, if you look in the dictionary, there's two meanings to the word seduction. One is the act of leading astray. Which we could say manipulation. And the second one is to be caught up in something we want to do already anyway, and we don't ever get the opportunity. I think seduction is fantastic. Men don't, the reason that we have dating coaches and conversations relative to this and tens of thousands of self-help books is because men do not survive, that men do not seduce their wives anymore.
No.
And women don't have this nurturing energy because they're taught not to have it and to be this aggression, right? And we have this aggressive masculine energy that's washed over the whole earth, which is an aggression and like suspicion and where are we going to be in 5 years and what do I mean to you? And this suspicion as opposed to what we want to naturally do, which is we want to honor and look in the face, like I say, of the beloved. That's my beloved. And I look at the face. And because of that, I feel like I can go and fight my battles and I can write this thing. And because of the face of the beloved that makes us, we always have that in our mind. Yeah, that's my girl. I'm thinking as a man, of course. That's my girl. And I see her in my mind's eye and I'm good. So nothing can faze me in life because I have that.
Yeah.
And not, and the problem is we don't have that. We have a relationship that's kind of broken. Excuse me. Or, I got a frog in my throat. We got a relationship that doesn't align with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. What if as a woman, you feel like, oh, my man's not seducing me anymore. And I'm asking this question because this is often the energy women can bring. Yeah. Just like, yeah, he's just not trying anything. He's not seducing me. We've been together for a while.
It's even heavier than that. It's like a real existential thing for a woman because, and they'll go and buy lingerie and they'll do everything they can. And they stand at the end of the bed and say, please notice me. Notice me. And the guy's yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you know, the problem with it is that men, they see all these signs that she's unfulfilled and they bat it away until they gets really into an argument or a fight or something like that, or they really feel, oh, okay, she's really upset now. So they buy her some flowers and then they go right back to their same behavior, you know?
Yeah.
That's why when a relationship breaks up, we think that women are the romantic ones, you know, when a relationship breaks up, it's the men who are completely destroyed because the women have been thinking about it for a long time. They've talked to their mother, their girlfriends, and the mother and their girlfriends, and the mother and the girlfriends. Him, they tried to talk to him. He's like, I'm kind of busy right now. What do you want to talk? You want to talk about this right now? You want to get into this right now? And she's trying to say something to him and he bats it away. And then she finally says, you know what? She talked to her mother and her sisters and she thought about this for years, perhaps. I'm done. And when the heart of a woman is done, now, for the first time, it hits a man in the forehead and he goes, wait a minute, no. So he starts writing her notes. He starts buying her flowers. It's too late.
Yeah.
And so what
can she still do to wake him up, though, if she is in a relationship or in a connection that's where this is happening?
Well, that's a good, you know what? I don't think unless he has some kind of external transformation in his life, something happens major.
Right.
He's that too caught sense. Up in, and it's worked in the past that he buys her some chocolates and said, I'm sorry, I was being such an ass, and so he just continues this and he doesn't really understand that there's a real deep seated feeling of desire from him. So sex is gone and she's trying to be sexy and pretty for him. She does everything she can, she tries everything. And he's like, he doesn't notice. He's watching football and, you know, I had a hard time at work. Come on. What do you want from me? I'm busy right now. And then he feels like he was kind of too harsh. So he buys her something or he tries something. Yeah. And this carries on for years. And a man only, a woman is resolved with it and finished with the relationship because she's been thinking about it for so long and he just now is new to it. So he's all heartbroken and, you know, It's a crazy thing.
The way I experience that as a woman is that I think there's a never ending desire to be played with, for lack of a better term, right? That's it's like, I want to be played with. I want to be challenged. I want to be, whatever it is. I just want to be played with. I want to be kept on my feet a little bit. And the moment he is complacent, he's just like, yeah, we've married or we've been together for a long time. Like, you're going to stay with me pretty much for a while. That's when the playing stops. And that's why seducing is so yummy. And the other thing I think is that I think I code that as being feeling like I'm taken for granted. Like, yeah, you're just always going to be there. You're always going to be my bed. You're always going to be the person I sleep with. And so I feel like, and then there's nothing in me that there's no seduction because I love what you said, that seduction was kind of this waiting game for something, you know, is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what often disappears in longer term relationships. Like, yeah, we know it might happen or something might happen or whatever, but still that play, that teasing or whatever. Yeah. Just a little bit, of teasing.
Just like, and it's not a bad thing. We want it. The problem is not seduction. The problem is the lack of seduction. We swipe on Tinder, we hook up, we get naked. There's no playful, energetic, you know, quantum level transference of energy.
Yes.
And we're starved for it. We're starving for it. on yeah. both men and women. Nowadays, yeah. it's easy to just get naked and hook up.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's, yeah. It's a natural, normal thing. You do that before you date.
Yeah.
You know, I am not any kind of a judge of anything of what people's lifestyle at all. You know, yeah. I believe that life is short and we need to, you know, experience everything. But at the same time, there's something mystical that we're missing. And you know what? It's a spiritual element. Yeah. And you cannot tell me it's not spiritual. People say, well, sex is not, you know, yes, it is. We're yeah. you know, we are created or we're the way we arise upon this earth is with a sexual drive.
Yeah. It's always,
which is a divine thing. And yeah. yet we say, well, that's toxic and you can't have that. And you shouldn't be like the way. And there's we judge others, which is mm-hmm. the worst quality anybody can have is to be judgmental, you know?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. So let's say you're a man listening to this and you think, okay. I'm intrigued. I feel like I'm remembering something. I want some of that. And he's maybe used to just hookup culture or maybe the nice guy or whatever. Like, how do you start developing this appreciation?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that discover my work and they go, I want that eventually. Right now, I just want to get laid this weekend,
yeah.
which they don't understand is these kind of concepts, these kind of things that we're talking about in this entire call is it
yeah.
will facilitate yeah. you getting laid this weekend as well as a marriage or, you know, long-term. It's a lower layer under all this stuff. Like you said, you talked about the bro culture, the guys that just want to high five and hook up with girls. I don't judge any of the stuff because I'm talking on a lower level, which is this level of the transcendent level of our mystical experience mm-hmm. of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that underpins everything. A marriage, a guy that just wants to have threesomes. It doesn't matter. As long as you're in this mystical adventure of curiosity,
mm.
you know? So for mm. guys who do resonate with this, my stuff's boutique, you know? A lot of people will discover my work and then say, well, I don't get it. And that's okay. That's fine with me but when they're ready for it and when they're ready for that admixture of art and beauty and mischief and bending the world over, you want to bend the world over at the same time, you're full of empathy and respect, you know, yeah. you have that combination.
Yeah.
Then and you want to understand what it is to live an artistic life, a life full of
that is
artistically created, you know, artistically mm-hmm. sought after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I think that you'll align with what I'm trying to say. So how can men, as you said, start to embrace that? Recognize that it's possible for you, that what you thought when you were 16 and 17, and you thought, I want to be this kind of energy that was stamped out of you from society and life and, you know, economics and everything,
yeah.
Is still possible for you. You know, if you're not a dreamer, if you're not a seeker, then if you're not a treasure hunter, then what's the point?
Yeah. If you're not a treasure hunter, I love this. You're like a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like the right? pirate. Yeah, I feel that. I get it. Hey, and yeah. so how do other men see you? Because I could also imagine that's... That also isn't always smooth.
That's a good point. It's interesting because I don't feel like I have any enemies out there. People might abstractly say, well, this guy's an idiot. But I'm unaware, I guess you could say. And I'm friends with an entire, maybe I'm a chameleon. I'm a spectrum, man. I can go into any kind of event or social gathering and I fit right in. I'm like, hey, where am I supposed to stand? Right. Hello, I'm here. Right. You know, so other men, that's a great question.
Because I could imagine somewhere, if I really call it more the seducer or whatever, the lover of women, yeah. I could imagine that another man might think, oh boy, I should not let him around my woman.
Oh, no. Here's right? the great thing. This is what men don't understand. They think that, for instance, they see a guy out with some girls, you know, in a club or a bar, And they start to, their wheels are turning. How do I break off one from the herd? You know, how do I get that girl? And who knows each other here? The real honor, there's an honor among men that, that have this kind of like mindset that I'm talking about. They see men who love women and they say, yeah, there's a brother right there. That's a good guy. I honor that guy. You know, I've always said to guys, if you go to a new city and you don't know anybody and you want to have a social life, a social circle immediately, what guys do, they go to the bar and they buy a drink and they stir their drink and they look at girls and they try to talk to girls and try to meet girls, right? In the new city, they don't know anybody. Forget that. Go to the men.
Oh, yeah.
Don't try and get the girls. You look at the guy who's sitting over there or standing around and he's got three or four women around him and they seem to enjoy and love his presence. Walk through the crowd, walk through these three or four women, walk right up to the guy and say, listen, I'm new to the city. My name is Zan. I don't know you, but I watched you and you were surrounded by all the girls. I'm alone. You look like the guy I should meet. I love this. Shake, you reach your hand like this. That guy will like you because he complimented him. He said, who is this guy? He just came up to me and he honored me. He said, I'm not going to sneak you around with you, one of your women, try and break her off. You know, you have all the women, you're doing something right. You look, I'm new to this city and I don't know anybody. You look like the guy I should meet. Shake your hand. And that guy will like you because you honored him. You respected him. You complimented him, the whole thing. And so there's an honor in this that is that's clear eyed, as opposed to guys worried about, you know, I'll tell you a little quick story. My 40th birthday party, I was with this girl for 3-4 years, beautiful, wonderful girl. And on my 40th birthday party, I came home from work, I guess it was, in the evening. And she came to the door and it was a surprise birthday party. It was a surprise with balloons. My whole apartment was filled with all this energy of this balloons and, you know, surprise birthday party. I turned 40. And she had invited this incredible girl. She invited all of my ex-girlfriends that she could find. And they came, about 11 or 10 or 11 girls came with their husbands and boyfriends.
Wow.
To my surprise birthday party, and it was a lingerie party.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I love this.
Exactly. So she created this energy because she knows I love women and she knows I honor and miss and adore the women that I've had in my past. They all came with their husbands and the guys were wearing house coats and, you know, and slippers, and the women were all wearing lingerie and stuff like that. And it was, there was not a one drop of jealousy or hint of who is this guy. And it was like, there's an honor in that. And I remember I walked out after 2 hours of this party, I walked out into my balcony. I remember looking back to the balcony at the scene and tearing up thinking, you know, my girl, my beauty wanted to honor me with this feminine energy. And these guys honor and respect that too. Nobody has a sense of competition with me. No men in that way at all, because I honor them. Yeah. I'm respected because I respect them. I'm honored because I honor them. I will never be this guy that's going to, like, you know, sneak around behind your back and try and wheel you up your girl. I look you in the eye and say, you know what? You have the most beautiful, this is your wife. She is such a beauty. Look at her. You are doing something right, my friend. I honor him. So there's no sense that, oh, Zan's here and he's going to, at all. I wouldn't do this. That.
You know? I'm respected because I respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think in some way we don't really trust the appreciation of men, or sometimes the turn on of men, or any of his penetrative energy. I think we have, for very good reasons, often we really distrust this energy. But
yeah,
there are men, and there are situations or moments where that energy comes from integrity.
Exactly. Right? It's integrity, and it's this grounded energy of, which is fantastic for me, because I had to learn this from nothing. There was no coach, I had no mentor. I had no father figure to look up to. I had no hero to teach me something. I had to fight for it, you know, but it's exactly what it is. It's like, it's that honor, you know, and honor is the word to use. I'm not sure, but it's real and it's vibrant and it's respectful and it's full of empathy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not weak.
No.
It's not like, oh, poor me. It's not victim. It's like, it's not weak in any way at all. It's like, it's a real respectful honor. And we're, and women and men are starved for it. That's the problem.
How do you deal with rejection though, when you are in such a wonderful, loving all women energy? How do you deal with rejection?
Rejection was a big thing of my past for sure. It was a big element, and it's a big element for men because I felt unworthy. I felt unworthy, you know?
Yeah.
And so now, honestly, if I think I've learned enough in my life to think this, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's my delusion, but you can't get their sense of rejection. If you stand on this earth, like you just said, if you stand on this earth as a student of life, I don't have it figured out. I make mistakes. But I can honor myself. I can look in the mirror and say, hey, at least I got your back. You know, at least I'm with you.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to put their arm around you. There's no father figure to come along and say it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So, but I can say it to you. I look in the mirror. I talked to that girl last night. I tried to ask her out and she rejected me. But was I sincere? Was I honest in my intentions? Was I clear? Yes, I was. Then I can stand on this earth and say that I did my job as a man. I tried my damnedest, right? It didn't work. Mm. It didn't work. But it's like compliments, you know. If someone says to you, wow, you know, you're so beautiful and you have beautiful eyes, and you've heard that your whole life. It's just another guy stacked onto the layer of compliments that is trying to buy you drinks and maybe get you drunk, take you home, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this layer of compliments. Because the compliments have nothing to do with you. It's about something I can get in return from you. Yeah. Whereas a king would walk around in his kingdom and he would see you standing off to the side and he would stop his kingly party and say, wait, wait. He'd walk up to you and say, who are you? I've never seen you before in my kingdom. And I'm first seeing eyes on you and you're such a beauty.
Yeah.
Your eyes are beautiful. You've been told that your whole life, but not like that. Because that's a one-way compliment. That compliment is to say, I'm going to speak how I see the world and I see you as a true beauty. You don't have to respond. You don't have to give me anything in return. That's how I see it. And I'm saying what I see. So it's all statements, you know? So this is how I see it. And when that kind of a compliment comes from someone, from this energy of that, it lands because it's one way. I'm just going to give you this. It's not because you like me and maybe you'll follow me or come walk with me down the street to the next stoplight. None of that stuff. You are true beauty. You have beautiful eyes. I know, and I know you've heard that your whole life, but you've never heard it from me. Boom, 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 boom. That lands, right?
Yeah, feel that.
And that's the problem.
I wish everybody would talk like that.
it's like yeah. And so you, but that's what you get from understanding that we're all insecure in our heads trying to figure it out, you know, instead of like I'm nervous, which we're nervous, that's not a bad thing, but you still show up. You know, Woody Allen said that 80% of success is just showing up. So, and most guys are not, they're like, they see the pretty girl up there, they hold their drink, their body's saying go talk to her, and they just don't show up. And if he would go over and say, listen, I'm Zan, I'm completely nervous, you're beautiful is the rainbow, and I have nothing to say because I'm all tongue-tied, at least you're there.
I think women are very often more looking for whether he's authentic or not. I think that's their meter. It's really like, is he true or not? Like, can I trust his word? So when he says I'm beautiful, is there something covert happening there, or is he really actually saying that I'm beautiful? And so even a man who's nervous, who would say something like, I don't know what to say, and blah, 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 and it's not coming out normally, even feels super awkward here. If it's real, it'll open her heart.
You could feel it'll when open it comes from heart. A different, from a, from a different place, right? Because it's not an agenda of trying to say the right thing. So you like me, so I'm complimenting you. So maybe, you know, it's like, I just speak what I know.
Yeah.
Complimenting on that level, the first level is like, I'm going to say things to make her like me more, as opposed to saying, you know what? I'm going to speak my truth about what I experienced in this moment. And you are beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And no one can reject that. If I said to you, Hey, would you like to go for coffee, or would you, are you free on Thursday night? You could say, no, I'm not interested, whatever. And then I can feel quote unquote rejected because my offering didn't land. But if I change it, those were questions. Are you free on Thursday? Would you like to go for coffee? If I change them to statements and I say, hey, I just met you. I'm just talking to you for 2 minutes. You know what? We should have coffee. Boom, boom, boom.
Or, so much better.
Or we should get together. Let's get together Thursday. You cannot be rejected because you're not asking for anything. You're just saying how you would like the world to be arranged around you. I would like to see you again. If men said that to women, listen, it was nice talking to you. I would like to see you again. That's a statement of truth that no one can say, no, it's not true. I reject that. You can't be rejected.
Yeah, it's also I'd yummy like to receive. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I wish everybody spoke like that. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. So something I work on with men is that I think a lot of men are controlled by their sexuality or controlled by their desires and controlled by their penetrative urges.
Yeah.
And from that, there's a needy, sucky energy. It's just like, oh, I see a beautiful woman. I must have her. The part of I must have her is what makes it unsafe, right? That's what makes it really icky to be around.
Yeah, it's the unsafe quality that's big. Yeah.
It's that I need to have it, and there's impatience, and there is a entitlement or a taking.
Yeah.
When actually what I try to work with men on is that they see the initial, like, oh, that's a gorgeous woman, I'm turned on, and think, wow, thank you. Thank you for letting me feel all this life. Whoa, you made me feel so many things. Thank you. Right?
That's a way different energy. Thank you for showing up into the energy. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for being here. Perfect. Yeah. Life is better now.
Yeah,
that's
really
the same
move
thing.
From taking to appreciating almost.
Yeah, seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Love that distinction.
Yeah.
All right, we've been talking for a long time already. Maybe your very last question. Yeah, this is a great conversation. Okay. What do you love about women? What do you love about women? Or the feminine or whatever?
I just really love that the there's something in me just lights up and with women. I don't care if she's 80 years old. She's, you know, I think in my life is better because I'm in the presence of this. Where does it come from? I just love the life-giving energy of the feminine spirit. I honestly do. You know, we think, like I said, we talked about hookup culture and we just like, we get naked and we put, you know, genitals together a lot. But what we're missing is, and what men are starving for and what women have innate in them is this, women give birth to men. That's the truth. But women also give rebirth to men. And that's what we're missing because I know this for sure. And when I've talked to men about this to men, they tear up and say, yeah, that's exactly me. When you make love to a beautiful woman, someone out of your league who invites you in, as opposed to gets drunk and lays there like a starfish, you know, who invites you in, something breaks in your heart a little bit because you are being received. You're being accepted and received as you are. And it is so rare to have that kind of like that sense of intimate rebirthing. It's a rebirthing energy. I promise you that. When a beautiful woman says, I honor you, I invite you in, I trust you enough to open my body to you, not just like we're drunk, let's have sex. I open up to open this up to you. There's something in the heart of man that makes him stop on earth on that day and say, that's a life-changing moment. And now I can go out and do, and it's what we're starving for. It's rebirthing. Yeah. That's the thing I like about women is they make men, that's the spirit of rebirthing. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it makes the man feel like, wow, I was in communion with that beauty. Nothing that can happen to me today in my job or anything can affect me in any way. Yeah. And that's what we're missing. And that's what I wrote a whole book about, you know, and I believe with all my heart, I really do believe that that's the power of the feminine spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. This is gorgeous. I often say, like, I think men find themselves through intimacy. They find themselves deeper through intimacy. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
And there's a lot of I could keep talking for weeks, believe me. There's a lot of thinking that we need to be sensitive, I guess is the word. But the sensitive, but when we think sensitive, we think now we can no longer have that solid frame of conviction. Yeah. And to have the combination is what interests me, interests you, interests all people, but they just don't know it. Yeah. It's what you're trying to talk about and create. It's what I'm trying to talk about and create is this beautiful, intricate balance, this dance between a solid frame of conviction. Thus far shalt thou go and no further. Here's a line in the sand. At the same time, you're open-hearted and an inviting spirit and want other people to have a great experience around you. That's the combination.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yes, yes, yes. I always say boundaries are sexy.
Yeah.
She will keep testing you because she wants to feel that you're going to be like, nope. To further. We want to feel that.
Because that's then we that father figure energy. Don't do it. You're my little sweetie. Yeah. You know I adore you. Don't do it. Boom.
Yeah, because it's also, and we can relax them because he's taking care of himself. I don't have to do it.
That's right.
I don't have to manage him.
Exactly. Imagine his emotions and my own.
Yeah, because he's got it.
Because he doesn't know what he wants and he can't express it and he can't stand on this earth and say, oh, you know, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So whatever you want is the biggest.
Yeah.
What do you want to do for dinner? Oh, whatever you want.
Yeah. Exactly.
Give me
but
something.
You know, the opposite is the guys say, well, you have to take charge, you know, like, listen, we're having this for dinner, guess what, we're gonna go to this movie.
Yeah.
For, you know, the idea is that you're in collaboration, you're in partnership with an equal. Your wife or your woman is your equal. You say and if you really don't really care, you say, what would you like for dinner tonight? She says, well, this. And as soon as you hear that, well, this, then you just make a decision. But otherwise, she might say, I'd like Chinese. Perfect, my little sweetie. I'd like Chinese tonight, too, because you want it. I want it. But if she can't make that decision, then she wants you to stand up and say, okay, well, let me take care of this. We'll do it this way.
That's exactly what it is. This is simple. Exactly what it is. Yeah, it's so simple. It's so simple. Zan, thank you so, so much for this wonderful, wonderful conversation. If people want to learn more about you, where can they?
I'm pretty easy to find. I'm on, you know, social media, zanperian.com. My company, my philosophy is called Ars Amorata, which is fake Latin for, you know, what happened was 20 years ago, I was interviewed and this woman wrote in her magazine that Zan Perian is, you know, has read, was influenced when he was young by Casanova's memoirs and in Ovid, who is a Roman poet from 2000 years ago, he wrote a book called the Ars Amatoria.
Oh yeah.
Which is proper Latin. Ars Amatoria means the book of the art of love. And he wrote this book on how to, you know, basically how to get girls in ancient Rome, right? and she put it in her magazine. She said, Zan is, you know, is read Casanova's memoirs and Ovid's book, Ars Amorata, which is a misspelling. So I stole it, registered trademark.
I love that.
And it means, you know, you get what it means, but it doesn't mean anything. So
I love that.
So Ars Amorata.com, zanperian.com. I wrote a book called The Alabaster Girl. I don't know if you can see it.
Yes, highly recommend. Anyway,
if you go to alabastergirl.com, I'll give you a book as a gift. I'll sign it and send it to you. You just have to pay for shipping. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty easy to find, but
amazing. Thank you so, so much, Zan, for your time and your wisdom and all of it. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. So nice to be here. Thank you for this.
Thank you so much, my loves, for listening to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please pass along to even just one person who needs to hear this. And My love language is very much words of affirmation, so I love, love, love it when you share my work. If there was one sentence that popped out to you from today's episode, please do share it on your social media, tag me in it, and I will shower you with my gratitude. Brothers, especially for you, we have just opened the doors to our very powerful men's container called The Initiation, and this is the only men's container led by the feminine. Yeah, you heard that right. This deep dive exclusive container with a hand-selected group of men will be guided together into the deepest of their masculine, fully in his power in front of the feminine. If you're interested, head on over to my Instagram and check the link in bio there for more information. And always, if you want to stay connected, Instagram is the best place. That's where I'm the most active, sophie.josephina, or hop on my mailing list, sophiejosephina.com. And before I forget, all of these conversations, so every podcast episode, is now also available on my YouTube channel, so you can always check it out there.